We, who are we that we are blessed, so blessed with your presence? Who we are is your loved children, those who are called because you chose each one of us. And God, we are overwhelmed by that, but we sing at the top of our lungs in praise and glory because we know that no matter what we are going through, whether it's the greatest time in our life or whether it's a scary, frightening time, you are with us. Not only with us, you dwell within us. And the thing that you have said to me this morning is it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay because it's going to be God's way. And God's way is the only way. And we glorify you today, Lord, for being in our midst, in our presence, for allowing us to worship with the angels, with each other, with those around the world today, lifting your praise because you are worthy. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for choosing to reside in your people. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Good morning to all of you this morning. It is with anticipation that we go into worshiping through the word this morning. Our service is broken up between worshiping through song and giving and worshiping through the word and response. And so this morning, Di Endicott is here. Diana Endicott, Reverend Diana Endicott, Pastor Di. She answers to all of those things. Many of you who have been to Women's Conference know Di from some of her presentations there, from her workshops there, and she's also been here a year and a half or so ago, and I wasn't here that day, so I'm so excited to have you come and speak, and I get to listen and be blessed by what you have to share with us. So thank you for being here with us.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thank you. Thank you. That's awesome. I'll tell you what, you are a serving place. I walk in, you have coffee, your techs are awesome, they're taking care of me, I'm telling you, you people know how to serve. Well done. I hope the rest of the world notices. Yeah. Yay for you. Yay for you. The topic this morning is prayer. And I almost didn't want to say that, because I don't know about you, but this topic of prayer can be just a little bit troubling, right? I mean, oh, no, not that again. And not another person telling me I need to pray more. Please don't tell me. I don't know about you. I'm just, can we be real? Sometimes that topic gets just a little tense, just a little edgy, just a little anxious. So let me put your mind at ease. I'm on a journey also, and so this journey of understanding of prayer and what it is and what it isn't and what it can be is what I'm excited to share with you. So we're not going to say, oh, you should. No shoulds. Okay? They're gone. Are we feeling better already? Are we? Good. That's the whole idea. In 1949, two old women, Christine and Peggy, we're praying. One of them is blind. One of them is crippled with arthritis. They can't really get to church, but they're praying. They're praying in their little town of Barvis on the island of Lewis, just on the outside of Scotland. It took 7 hours to get to Barvis, to Lewis, by boat. So they're like remote. They get a lot of storms there, so the trees are like not like these. Anybody been to Scotland? Yeah, you have. Have you been to the Hebrides Islands on the outside of Scotland? No one does. So that's kind of the place, kind of remote. So, but they began to pray. Here's why. In 1939, there was a revival on the island. And they were so excited during that time. People came to Jesus. People came to understand the fullness of Christ, the fullness of Christ in the whole city, the whole island, 25,000 people, was greatly affected in 1939. But then the war happened. Right? And then people went off to war, and then they came back, and there was this spiritual deadness that settled into the church, and this spiritual lack of desire to the point where the churches weren't very full. Most of the young people didn't go to church. They went elsewhere. And this wasn't a big town, so you all knew each other's business. And so they were concerned. They were concerned, and so they began to pray. And so as they prayed, they asked for others to pray. And so five or six other people began to gather in what they thought was a barn because it had a thatched roof on it, but really it was a house. So they began to pray, and they began to pray, and they prayed, and they prayed. Oh God, can you come in your presence and power? Kind of like the song we just sang. The presence and power of God. God, can you come and do that again? Is it too late for us? Because some of us walked away from that. Is it too late for us? Can you come again? Can you come in your presence and power? That's a question that I've been asking for myself, for our region, and for you. I've been asking that. God, can you come again in your presence and power? Has anyone ever felt the need for the presence and power of God? Yeah. Well, yeah. I remember a time I'm literally doubled over in my closet, kind of a sort of half walk-in kind of closet. I'm doubled over, and I said, God, in my grief and sorrow, in the story of my grief and sorrow, I said, God, unless you help me, I think this is how people die of grief right here. I was physically bent over. Does anyone relate to that? Yeah. Well, you just don't know how you're going to do it. You don't know how you're going to do it. Our son had died. It was tragic. You have losses. And I was just, God, unless you come in your presence and power, well, I'm done right here in my closet. I'll be on the floor. They'll find me later. Now, I'm standing here talking to you. So something happened. Something happened. And I don't know what you're going through, but can I just give you a little hope before you even get to the text that something can happen? Oh, something happened on the Isle of Lewis. Something happened there. We'll get to that in a minute. We're going to talk a little bit together about this idea of praying and what does it really mean, and some of these verses people throw out when they talk about prayer. Just, I don't know about you, but they kind of frustrate me. What do you mean, ask in my name and I'll do it? It's not happening, God. So we're going to kind of unpack a few things together. Sound okay? Okay, some of you are like, I don't know. That's all right. Let's pray. Father God, we trust that you are here. Oh, we know you are here. And we pray now, Holy Spirit, you are our teacher. So we pray for the guidance and the opening of understanding, that you just take us another step. God, would you just take us another step in our journey to understand and to listen to you about this thing called prayer. We need your help. We acknowledge it. We declare it. We trust you will help us because that's how good you are. We sang about that too. In Jesus' name, amen. So here's the text. This is going to be interesting. The minute you see it, you're like, oh, I know that one. Okay, well, let's look at it again. Luke 18, verses 1 to 8. And he, being Jesus, told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. It's fascinating to me when Jesus just says from the get-go, he didn't always do that with his parables. Some of his parables are like, we're still figuring them out. And the disciples are like, okay, he's telling me right now. This is why he's telling me the story. What's helpful about that is now we can take the whole rest of the story and interpret it through that phrase. He wants us to keep on praying and not lose heart. Okay? That's why it's in yellow there. He said, in a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man. And there was a widow in that city who had kept coming to him saying, give me justice against my adversary. For a while he refused, but afterward he said to himself, though I neither fear God nor respect man. Normally people don't say that to themselves, but it's the story. It's a parable. Though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice so that she will not beat me down by her continual coming. And the Lord said, Jesus said, hear what the unrighteous judge says. And will not God give justice to his elect who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? I don't know about you, but that's like a whole bunch of thoughts crammed into a paragraph that makes me scratch my head. It's like, Jesus, you said you had a reason for this. So let's just unpack it just a little bit together. Let's unpack this a little bit together. You may have been taught that this passage was about you're the widow, pound, pound. Anybody been taught that? I was. Pound, pound, pound. Keep at it. That's what this passage means. Like the widow, I'm just going to keep knocking, knocking, knocking on God's, some kind of door of God. God, God, I need this. You're not listening. God, I need this, God. And I'm pounding, pounding, pounding. And I would like to suggest to you that something's wrong with that interpretation of this passage, because it says the judge in this story is unrighteous and uncaring. That can't be God in this story. Cannot be God. So where's God in this story? Where is he in the story? And I heard a sermon by Dr. Cheryl Sanders, giving her cred here because, oh, she's good. And she suggested, and I've been pondering, and I suggest to you, what if the widow in the story is God? What if God keeps knocking, knocking, and knocking on injustice? What if God is the one knocking against unrighteousness, uncaring? What if he's the one after it, after it, after it? What if he's the one on our behalf is the one who says, no, that's not right. No, that's not right. Does this help anybody? This helps me not lose heart. God is the one who's pursuing, 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 going after injustice, going after that was wrong, whatever happened to you or is happening now, going after it, going after it, going after it. And then so Jesus says, so when Jesus says, when the Son of Man comes, himself comes, is there faith on earth? No, now maybe we're catching on to what he's asking, because he's saying, will anyone partner with God in this? Does anyone have the faith to partner with God in this? Does anyone have the belief that God is doing this and can step into a partnership with God against injustice, against unrighteousness, against all that's wrong in the world? And there's a little bit wrong with the world. I don't know about you, but I just don't know if I want to turn on the news anymore. Anybody? It says, oh, I need a prayer meeting before I watch the news. Or some kind of over my face. It's too difficult sometimes to even watch. So if it's about partnering with God, and I understand Jesus said, the unrighteous judge, watch what he says. You see, pretty soon something has to give under the pressure of God. Something has to give. And that's why sometimes we have breakthrough. Read the story of Smith Wigglesworth. Did I pronounce that correctly? In England. Oh, read that story. Pressed in, pressed on. God was knocking on the injustice of slavery in England. And God used this man, and he just pressed on, pressed on. And then there was breakthrough. There's no more slavery in England. There was breakthrough. So when God presses on a thing, it will break. Now, okay, you and I can argue about that word speedily. Anybody notice that in there? My God, I was right with you until that word. What does that mean? How can it be speedily? When it's going to break, it'll break fast. When it breaks, it will break fast. There is no long cracking. It's going to go. So when God says this thing breaks and it breaks now, it breaks now. That's what he means by speedily. I know you and I hope he means, well, like I pray today and then tomorrow morning something breaks. Maybe. It happens. We hear those stories. We're stirred by stories where that happens, so we keep going. And Jesus is asking us through this passage to just trust faith, to let faith rise. God is after this. God is working on this. He's working. So my faith rises. How, then, do I partner with him? That's the question in prayer. That's the question. How do I partner with God? Well, that might be why we look at John 15:7 a little differently. John 15:7, anybody remember that one? If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. That's another one of those where you're like, really? You know, it's just another one of those. It's like, but I've asked. I've asked. You know, I've been asking. Anybody? So what does this mean? This is the practical walking it out. This is the way in prayer when he says, you remain in me, my words remain in you. This is the practical way our faith rises and we partner with God. We partner with him. You don't have to knock on the door of an unrighteous judge. He loves you. You don't have to keep saying, God, you're not paying attention. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. He loves you. He cares about what you care about. He cares about whatever it is in your life right now. You're going, yeah, but what about that? He cares about that. He's looking for partnership with him in it. Is that making sense to you? Yeah. We're all good so far. So we have a little ways to go yet. So in John 15:7, if you remain in me, that word is so huge, that abide word, it means I have a relationship with God, so I remain in him. And that's, we could have 14 sermons on this, couldn't we, Carlene? This is a way we just stay with God in relationship. We stay with him in relationship. You don't have to earn a relationship with God. All you have to do is say, God, I'd like one. And then he says, I've been waiting because, oh, if I got a joyous journey for you. Joyous journey for you. So it's a relationship. I remain in him. How do I do that? Well, I remember that I'm in a relationship with God. I remember that. God, can you, I got to go to work today, God. I'm not leaving you at home. Will you help me to partner with you today? How are we going to handle this today, God? See, that's remaining. And God, we include him in every possible situation. God, how are we going to do this today? Do you have anything to say about that today? I'm going to listen to you. So that's how his words abide in me. So I got to put his words in me. I got to get some words of God in me. That's up to me. That's up to me. How many words do you want in you? If his words abide in me, I can ask something and it'll happen. I want a lot of words in me. I want God's words in me. So when he says, come on, we're going to partner on this. Do you agree with me? Here's my words. Stand on them. Here we go. That's partnership in prayer. Well, that's the adventure of prayer. That's the adventure of prayer. D.L. Moody says this about prayer. Prayer does not mean that I bring God down to my thoughts and my purposes. Prayer means that I'm to be raised up into feeling, into union and design with him, that I'm to enter into his counsel and carry out his purpose fully. So it's not a matter of, God, come down here, you're not paying attention. It's no, God, help me up to where you are. Help me see what you're seeing. Help me do what you want me to do to partner with you in this thing. It's a completely different mindset, have you noticed? We call it flip it. Flip it. God, you don't have to come and do it the way I want you to do it. I want to see what you're already doing because he's already doing something. He is. You can tell I like this. It's an adventure when we'll let him lift us and rise up to partner with him. It's an adventure in prayer. So how do we do that? I've already talked a little bit about remaining. That really is the number one. How's my relationship with you, Jesus? Are we good? We good? Is there something in the way? Is there an obstacle? Show me, God. Show me. I give it to you. That's remaining in God. Is there something that I wasn't doing that I need to do? God, show me. God, is there something I am doing? I need to stop. Show me. That's remaining in him, and it keeps the flow going, you see. Keeps the avenue open so he can speak and I can hear him and I can read the word of God, and those words come in, deposit, deposit, deposit. And then he says, okay, now stand on that one, because the speedily thing is happening right now. So stand on that one and declare it, declare it. You don't have to ask me anymore. Now you declare it. Okay, I'm getting to a really, really good part. Here's a quote from one of our coordinators of the National Prayer Movement, of Doug Newton. Pastor Doug Newton's an awesome guy. This is what he says. Prayer is the technology of the kingdom. It moves things. It changes things. It causes things to happen. I keep seeing buttons pushed and levers pulled. But it only works if we're praying God's words. We should never try to name it and claim it if what we name is based on our own thoughts and desires. But if we have God's word on the matter, well then, by all means, claim what God names. Amen. That's how we understand praying in the Spirit. It's not necessarily about having a prayer language. It's about being prompted and guided by the Spirit of God to pray in a certain way with certain words. It's P-U-I. I love this. Praying under the influence. There is nothing more important than making time privately and then coming together corporately to pray under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Praying God's words changes everything. And see, and that's what the people on the island of Lewis did. They took something they believed God gave them. He's like, now, this is a word for you now. And they stood on it. They reminded God of his word. It's Isaiah 44:3. For I will pour water on the thirsty land and streams on the dry ground. I will pour out my spirit on your offspring and my blessing on your descendants. They had other words. If you'd leave that one up, please. They had other words come to them, scriptures that they prayed, very meaningful ones. And they'd say, I mean, they were bold. They said, God, you said you would pour water on dry ground. We're dry. You said you'd do this, and rivers of water. So we declare this to be the time. God, you said you would. We're partnering with you now. And they prayed, and they prayed. And sure enough, in December of 1949, after a prayer meeting, there was a sense, and they find, if you read about this, they find it hard to find words about this. They found themselves, the sense of a covering the island. And people, it wasn't that they were, thank you. You serve so well here. Have I said that yet? Have I said that yet? So, water. And a dry and thirsty land.
Can we get you some
droppies? Yeah. Yes. But we'll wait a minute. What's exciting to me about this story, which God will not let me away from this whole story, and there's much to learn from it, but in this story of the island of Lewis, the Spirit of God came to the point where people in the fields on the side of the road would suddenly start crying. And they'd say, is there mercy for me? Is there mercy for me? And they would find they're running to church. They're like running to church. Hundreds of people show up in this church. They didn't have to say, come to church. A policeman sent a runner to this guy. He's got people everywhere. They're under the altar. Can you imagine? They're everywhere. The policeman comes. He says, can you come to the police station? He's like, oh, no, now what? He says, there's a bunch of people out there crying and carrying on. We don't know what's wrong with them. 400. They didn't know where to go. They knew that the police chief was a Christian, so they thought, let's go there. So they go there. They were everywhere, weeping. What happened? The Spirit of God came. The presence and power of God that we just sang about, the presence and power of God came and came to the island and changed people. It wasn't just about an experience. It was about transformation. It transformed those people. And they claimed this verse. And the reason why I'm mentioning this one, not some of the others, is I believe this is for you. This is for New Vision. This verse, can we pop it up again? This verse is for New Vision. I feel really strongly about this, so I'm going to personalize it for you. For I, God, Lord, the Lord God Almighty, am going to pour water on New Vision and streams on New Vision and beyond. And I will pour out my spirit on you, your children, and a blessing will go through your legacy throughout. You will have a legacy of the outpouring of God, the living water of God. And I believe that's something, I do believe this is something you can stand on. And you can start claiming this. God, you said. God, you said. And then I got a picture that happens to me once in a while. Sometimes it's because I've had too much coffee. I don't think that's the case today, though. I got this beautiful picture of your inner river. Your inner river. And I don't know where this river is going to take you. It's not going to be in this building after January, right? But I don't know where it's going to take you. But it's not going to matter. Because you're in this river of living water. It's pouring out the water. And it's going to increase as you go. And people say, I want part of that. They're dry and they're thirsty. They might not even know why they want to come up next to you. And they're crying. They're like, I don't know why I'm crying. Well, I do. See, God loves you. And then they had the easiest sermon of the whole entire planet on the island of Lewis. Because they say, is there mercy for me? And the sermon was, yes. One word sermon. It's Jesus. Two word sermon. Yes. And they'd come. It took them a while. Some of them had to realize that their past was not a problem for God. And somebody needs to hear that today. Your past is not a problem for God. He can still take you, cleanse you, and move you along in this beautiful journey of partnership with him, the adventure of partnering with him. I'm very excited to see how God works this out for a new vision. Just one day at a time. In your own life, remember it's personal too. I have to make my own personal decisions. What am I going to do? What am I going to do? God, what are we going to do about this? I'm your partner. This partner's waiting for an instruction. What do you say? That's my personal part and yours. But then there's a corporate piece. Will you come together? There's power in corporate prayer. God, what do you say? We claim this verse. We're going to stand on it. And we're going to have buckets ready. We're going to put buckets everywhere. There's going to be buckets everywhere. We're just going to be ready for you. We're going to be ready for you. Strong word. And very exciting. So my question for you is this. Do you find yourself in need of the presence and power of God? Yes. Me too. And the beautiful thing is, he can teach us to prepare personally and corporately, as he's always present. The question, of course, is, am I present with him? He's always present. Am I present with him? In other words, do I know how to pay attention? Does it have my attention? When I pay attention to the word of God, I'm actually putting water on it. I'm watering the word, the seed, so it can grow and develop. When I pay attention to the word of God, something's starting to water. And in the natural, let's say you're thinking, well, I'm just not hungry enough. I have a suggestion, because, you know, I have lots of those. In the natural realm, when you're trying to get hungry, which I don't know why you would ever do that, but if you're trying to get hungry, you stop eating. And you're going to get hungry. In the spiritual realm, it's flipped. If you want to get hungry, feed on the word of God. Okay, it might just feel like rote at first, but just keep reading, keep listening, keep turn on the worship music, keep listening, keep feeding, keep depositing, and you'll get hungry. There's a thing called natural thirst. You have to drink water to create a natural thirst. And then pretty soon you got to drink water. Where's the water? And that's what happens in the spiritual realm. So you're saying, I don't know if I'm hungry enough. Start feeding. Feed. The hunger will develop. The people on the island of Lewis has something for us to learn. Personally for me, and now I'm sharing it with you. And so Pastor Carlene mentioned the beautiful idea of next steps. And so I have a couple more suggestions. And these will be on your connection card to consider. And then, Pastor Carlene, if you want to say more about the connection card, feel free. But if we're serious about being under the influence and the adventure of prayer under the influence of the Spirit, there are some things we can do. The first one is this, and this is on your card if you want to look at that. And then you can choose, I will or won't. I will ask God for a scripture to repeat back to him in prayer. God has given me Hosea 6:3 personally, and this is it. Hosea 6:3 is what I keep repeating back to him. I did this morning, and I reminded him, this is so fun, you can do this. We have the authority to do this. We're partners with God. So Hosea 6:3 says, let us know the Lord. Let us know the Lord. Let us press on to know the Lord. For as surely as the sun rises, he will come to us. And he will come to us like the rains, like the spring rains that water the earth. So this morning I said, Lord, sun's rising. Your word says you will come to us. So I agree together that he will. And he is. He's faithful. If you study, then maybe you want to study that passage a little bit more and do a little word study and dig into it a little bit so you can understand. But ask God for a scripture to repeat back to him in prayer. God, your word says, and let it start to create a hunger in you and a thirst in you for more. And then perhaps, I don't know how many minutes you might be spending in prayer. Maybe you have been on a prayer journey. It's like, I'm just kind of tired of it. I just want to say, I understand. But maybe today you could consider 5 minutes. 5 minutes. Even if it's just on the way to work or school or whatever you're doing, 5 minutes. God, I'm giving you five. I'm giving you five. Here, let's talk. She said, that girl said something about partnership. I'm going to read your word. Show me something in there. I'm going to agree with you that that's your word. You can put it in me. Let's see, that was a minute and a half. Right? Just 5 minutes. Just keep pushing in until 5 minutes. Pretty soon you'll find it'll go fast. Pretty soon you'll find that. Just five more minutes. If you spend a lot of time in prayer, five more. Just do five more, okay? And then the other one was, I plan to journal or talk honestly with a friend about my experience in prayer this week. This is why that's important. We're a community. We learn from each other. There is a sense of when I share my story, the story is kind of released among us. So I say, oh, you know what? I prayed about this, and then I read that the next day, and it was so cool. That coolness, it gets kind of spread and released among the body. It's important to share with each other. We're a very independent culture, especially on the West Coast. Pioneers, you know, we can do it. Bootstraps, wherever that came from. I don't even know where bootstraps came from, but I'll just pull myself up by my bootstraps and I'll just go do. That's not scriptural. We're supposed to be in community and help each other. So find someone. Now, maybe a phone call isn't your thing. Text. Agree, we're going to be text buddies. We're going to text my scripture I found out, the thing that happened. You can even say, not much happening today. How about you? That's okay. But that's what that means. Connect with someone. The journal, I find, I just heard about this today, and I really am pondering this. But the journal idea would be so helpful because perhaps on one side, you jot down what you prayed, but leave the other side blank. And that's the answer side. So I'm praying this and that. So that's why you have to be kind of specific with God. And then see, sometimes when people say, I'm just struggling financially, I'll say, how much do you need? They're like, what are you, nosy? No, I'm not nosy. I'm going to pray for that amount. Tell me how much you need. I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray. And it's, make that kind of a deal in your prayer journal and see what happens. It'll stir our faith when that blank side starts to fill up. Yes. And we can share it with each other. Okay? Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. And before Pastor Carlene comes up and gives us the few minutes we have, is that how you do this? You take time? I'd like to pray a blessing over you for that time. Because while you're considering this and jotting things down, he might have something more to say to you in that quiet time. Probably, because he loves to do that. So God, thank you. We declare this to be a new day of understanding. Father, thank you that you're always after injustice and wrongs. Thank you. Thank you for the hope that stirs as we think about that. Thank you, Father, that you're always working and you're asking for us to partner. Thank you. Help us. Oh, help us. What is my next step to learning how to walk and partner with you so I can join this grand adventure of prayer and partnership with you? Show me that verse, God. Show me that verse. Show me how to connect with someone I'm on this level about this stuff. And God, I bless my friends. I thank you for the encouragement of these verses, this verse that they can stand on, and I know others will come. Thank you. Help them to know how to do that together corporately, to stay in the flow of your river and go on and on and on. Thank you, Jesus. It's your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Father, for being so good to us. You're amazing. We love you so much today. And God, we know that it's hard to bring ourselves fully to you. I just pray that those of us who are here who couldn't quite take that step today, that couldn't quite remove a band-aid, let you see the wound, know that it's not ever too late, that you are always with us. And that when the courage is there, when the time is right, you're ready to touch whatever wounds remain. But God, that doesn't change your promise that we are going to be caught up and swept up in your living water that is going to quench the thirst of this body, but also of the parched and dry land that you have placed us in the midst of. And so, Lord, that never changes. Despite ourselves, you use us and you fill us and you direct us and you guide us. And God, we rejoice in that today, because even I can be used by you despite my blind spots. And so, Lord, as you reveal those areas to us that we need to bring to you, let us do it and just say, God, here I am, take me. But Lord God, let us not fall for the enemy's lies that says we are useless until we are completely sanctified, till we are completely made pure and holy, because that's not going to happen this side of heaven. So God, help us to partner with you right where we are and see the amazing things that you have planned for us. And God, I just want to also thank you for the vision that was shared with me months ago, that outside of the doors of New Vision, people will be lined up waiting to get in. That is the truth, Lord God, and the truth isn't about numbers. It's not about numbers, God. It's about people, and it's about souls needing to be saved. Those that are hungering and thirsting for you, God, that's what it is about. We are a body that is gifted with service and giving and mercy. And God, that's what this world needs. We need your hope. And you've called us to do that, Lord God. And so all of us here, as you've gifted us in these ways, want to be used by you. Help us to partner with you, God. Help us to do that. We pray in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen.